This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, brownszone.com, where you can read all of his work. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, sir.
What's going on, guys?
Scott, eh?
All right, so are you on trade watch, or is it bigger picture than that watch?
Man, I'd say both. I think the trade watch obviously is more imminent, and I think it's important to see who they trade, what they do, if they do anything. But there are certainly bigger questions hanging over everything with this organization.
I said early in the show today, I think the Haslams need to decide. And they need to know, I guess, is a better way. They've already, I'm sure, decided. Is Andrew Berry their GM and is Kevin Stefanski their coach? Buying out a contract, paying a guy off is not that big of a deal in the NFL. Do you think Andrew Berry's their GM and Kevin Stefanski's their coach?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if you need to know that right now. There's a lot of season left, I think. Things can change over the last, what do I got, 8 games left. I don't think you need to make that decision on November 4th. You know, a week ago, we had a different view of everything, and it felt like they'd figured some stuff out, and, you know, Kevin Stefanski was off the hot seat, and then things change fast in this league. So I agree completely that they need to figure that out. I don't know if they need to do it sooner rather than later. I think I'd let it breathe for a while. But those are huge questions. And I would even say that the Andrew Berry question is more important because you have huge organizational decisions that need to be made as far as Deshaun Watson and how do you handle his salary cap situation and how do you rebuild this roster, or do you tear it down, or do you just try to find a quarterback and use that quarterback with the roster you have? You know, Kevin Stefanski is secondary to that because he's going to coach whoever you give him. So I think the number one thing they have to figure out is Andrew Berry the right guy to lead them out of whatever they're in right now?
How bad is this year's team? I mean, like, there are times when I sit here and I look and I say, well, these numbers feel like 1999. In 1999, they had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 games where they scored more than 20 points in a 16-game season? I hate that as my bar, but there are times I watch this offense and just go, ugh, this is like 99. It always feels like it. And maybe I'm just overreacting. Please tell me I am.
I do think there is some of that going on. And Browns fans and Browns media are so scarred by everything that's happened since 99. I think it's easy to fall back on that. I understand it as a reference point, and you're right. The numbers are the numbers. So, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, I mean, they've scored 20 points in one game, right? And they're 9 games more than halfway through the season. So that's awful. I think the reasons for the struggles on offense are fascinating, and I think they're multiple, and it starts with your quarterback play, but it goes beyond that. You know, yesterday it felt like, to me, that they didn't have a great plan to attack what the Chargers were doing. And Jameis Winston had time to throw. And I know he sacked 6 times. I would argue 4 or 5 of those were because he couldn't find anybody open and he was trying to, you know, he just held the ball for a while and tried to scramble and tried to make a play, and eventually the protection breaks down. And I don't know if that's a scheme issue where they're not able to scheme guys open. I don't know if it's a talent issue where guys aren't getting enough separation. The receivers aren't getting enough separation. I don't know if Winston wasn't seeing guys, which he did the week before, so that seems the least likely of those options to me. But it's been happening all year. It's been happening with multiple quarterbacks. So there's something bigger going on with this offense, and that's certainly concerning. I still, you know, believe Kevin's a smart guy and can figure it out, but something's gone horribly wrong with this offense. And, you know, is it the staff changes they made? Is it all about the quarterback? But I don't think it's as, to get back to your point, I don't think it's as bad as 99. I think there is talent on the team, but maybe that's makes it worse because they're playing as poorly as they are when everybody expected more, and I think expected more for legitimate reasons.
Scott Petrak joining us, brownzone.com. Covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Tell me your thoughts on these. It appears that Andrew Berry missed on a couple of really big things this season. Miscalculated the offensive line. And by saying that, either it's gotten old or it was injured or they had bad information about how guys were healing up or they weren't ready for what was coming injury-wise. And rolling back the defense pretty much as it was last year, overestimating maybe how good the defense might be. What do you think about those?
Yeah, I certainly see why you'd say that. With the offensive line, I think it's tough because it's not playing at nearly the same level it had. And I think you're right about some stuff, Jeff. I think they probably got the timeline wrong with guys returning to health, and that really affected everything. Yes, they're getting older. Is Joe Bitonio the same player? Probably not. I think he's still, you know, a really good left guard.
And Scott, I think talent-wise, there was reason to really like this offensive line.
Well, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, so I do think that not having your tackles healthy and ready week one had a domino effect. I also think, and they haven't been able to establish the run in that. It's part line. It's part running backs. You know, they didn't have Nick Chubb, and now Nick Chubb's still working through, you know, coming off that injury. I think the quarterback play early in the season made the line look worse than it was. I do think that's legitimate. And if you had a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson and one who could see the field and didn't hang out of the ball and run into sacks, that we might not be having the same discussion about the offensive line. But that's not getting Andrew Berry off the hook. And I do think for whatever reason, and injuries are part of it, they weren't where they needed to be week one, and it set a terrible tone for the season. As far as the defense,
I like the defense. You know, I thought, okay, I see this, but it looks like it's not quite the same unit that it was.
Yeah, well, obviously the numbers are way down. But like in the, Martin Emerson Jr. hasn't had the same season, and you could probably argue Greg Newsom. You know, he's been hot and cold this year. I think the biggest drop off has probably been Emerson. You know, before the last couple of weeks, I think he's played pretty well the last couple of weeks. But to me, it doesn't feel like a player thing. It feels bigger. And I think that's the thing you say that about the whole team, that just when you're playing bad football, everything goes wrong. And Dustin Hopkins, you know, kicks one into the line and your return team gives up a 53-yarder that sets up a touchdown. And you just point to all these things. Like, the reason they gave up two touchdowns in the first half on those passes wasn't because Denzel Ward is not a great corner. I mean, I think he's had an outstanding year. But they have two breakdowns that kill him. Now, is that an Andrew Berry roster construction issue? It's not. Now, you could say that Juan Thornhill was a bad free agent signing, and I'll listen to that all day long. But whether or not Thornhill's a good safety, they had nothing to do with that play, right? That was a miscommunication or whatever it was. Now, it kills the game, and it skews everything. So, I don't know. Like, I think they're talented enough that the D-line is good. JOK is really good. You know, Denzel Ward's really good. So, I don't know. I think that's why it's so hard to get a handle on this, because I think if you just break it down, you could say, oh, yeah, I think the roster's really good, but they're not living up to that potential. And that's where the disconnect is. But I'm not ready to say it's all about the roster.
All right, who do you think will be here after, or who won't be here after 5 o'clock tomorrow? Any names you're thinking other than, I mean, Za'Darius Smith seems to be 1 foot out the door, but who else could be gone?
Yeah, I think the candidates outside of Za'Darius are any of those veteran D tackles. You know, if somebody wanted a Dalvin Tomlinson or Shelby Harris or Mo Hurst or Quentin Jefferson, I think the Browns would trade two of those guys. You know, Greg Newsome, does he have enough value on the market where it would be worth giving up a former first-round pick who signed through 2025 to play the vital role for your team and hasn't been perfect, but is still, in my opinion, a starting caliber guy in this league. If somebody made the right offer, I could see him. Jed Wills, last year of his contract, plays a premium position. Now, that would kill their depth at tackle, but he didn't start the last two games. They picked DeJuan Jones ahead of him this week. I think they want to see what they have, if DeJuan Jones can be the left tackle long term. So if you could get something for Jed Wills, I think it would make sense to trade him. And then, you know, Elijah Moore, I don't think he's happy here. I don't know if you could get anything for him, but if you could, I think they'd trade him.
There are very few franchise quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, guys who you think, yep, that's our guy. We don't need an upgrade. Boom, sold. I don't think the Browns have one. I don't think any of us think they have one. What would you do moving the rest of this year with that in mind? With folks thinking, let's see what you have in DTR.
Right.
He's a fifth-round pick. What the likelihood of DTR becoming your guy? Jameis is serviceable, I think. If he was your starter next year, serviceable. But what would you do here?
Yeah, for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
I would continue to play Jameis for the next, let's call it, handful of weeks. I think there's too many veterans on this team. You owe it to them to try to win games. And I believe, and I think they believe, Winston gives them the best chance. I know he threw three interceptions, didn't play well yesterday. He also played pretty well the week before against the Ravens, right?
Sure.
That's Jameis Winston. So, you know, I hate to jump to conclusions either way, but I think he's better than DTR. I think he gives you a better chance to win. And they're not mathematically eliminated yet. I would ride it out with him for a while, and I think that's what Kevin Stefanski said they're going to do. At some point when they're mathematically eliminated, it doesn't make sense to turn it to DTR and see what he has. Yeah, I think there is value in that. I don't think you need eight games to see him. I don't think you need to see him play eight games. I think if you saw him play the last three or four, that's probably enough, especially given the thought that I don't think he's the answer, like you said. And I don't think they think he's the answer. So you just will maybe want to reaffirm that to yourself as an organization that, yeah, he's not the guy. And maybe get a sense, can he be your two or not, right? Is he not even that good? So that's how I would handle it. You know, if Andrew Berry wanted to make the argument that, hey, we want to see DTR for eight games and get a great gauge, I understand that thought process. I just don't agree with it because I do think there's a balance there between preparing for the future and trying to win games right now and showing the other 52 guys in the locker room that you're out there to compete and to win because these guys just play too hard and work too hard.
So do you think DTR lost that when they made him the number two quarterback? Or what? Like, why do you think he was the number two quarterback against Cincinnati?
I think that it was because Jameis Winston messed up the third and one in Philly on the handoff to Sid Tillman.
Okay.
And that left a bad taste in the coaches. I don't know, nobody's told me this. It's just, it sure feels like the timing was – it was such a big play in the game. They trusted Winston on that play. He made the wrong call. And if they were close to even anyway, let's put DTR as a number two. And then you had the finger issue. I think guys in the locker room think Winston's better, and that made sense to go to him when you knew Watson was done for the year.
Scott Petrak joining us. If you're sitting here at 2-7 and you have eight games to go, you're not going to, you know, not try to win football games, as you said, which is why, and I agree with you, I'd play Jameis. I just wonder if there's any move that they think they can make that benefits them long term here, Scott, before the trade deadline or with a roster shuffle or anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm hard pressed to think of something.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting, I think anything's on the table. And let's assume that they're not going to count on Deshaun Watson to be the guy next year, which I don't see how they could. So you got to figure it out, and it's probably not Jameis Winston. So could it be a Bryce Young or an Anthony Richardson or Justin Fields? I think those are the kind of guys on one track you think, okay, Sam Darnold, does he become available? Are those the guys you can get and say, hey, we're going to try to get plug this guy in, salvage somebody's career, and see if he can be the guy with or without drafting a guy in the top five or top 10 or wherever they wind up picking? So I think they're going to have to consider all those things. They have to be budget conscious because they don't have the salary cap space because of Watson's, you know, the commitments to Watson. So they're going to get really creative, and they're going to have to consider everything and every option and every free agent, every trade. But I think those are the kind of, you know, if it feels like grasping at straws, maybe it is. But I think those are the kind of shots you're going to have to take, unless you just say you're going to draft a guy with your first pick in the first round and hope that there's a legitimate quarterback coming out of college in the draft.
That's a tough way to go. I just can't believe that this team is sitting here right now in this situation, Scott. You know, it was, I think, very unexpected. I don't know that this was a surefire playoff team, but I think we all thought it was a surefire we're going to compete team, and that just hasn't happened. That's stunning to me.
It is to me too, Jeff. And I think, you know, you look at, and I know fans probably hate to hear this, but you look at Pittsburgh, and they didn't have a quarterback situation figured out, and they still probably don't. Yet they find a way to win because their defense plays up to its potential, because they have the culture and the tradition and all that, and they have a great head coach, that they're able to figure it out even though they don't have the biggest piece that's necessary. And I'm sure their ceiling's lower than, you know, Buffalo and Kansas City and whoever's got a big-time quarterback. But they can still win games and still win games, win a lot of games. And this organization has shown that it's usually not capable of doing that. Now, last year they did it with all those injuries, and that was a remarkable job by the organization, by the coaching staff. But it has not shown the ability to sustain that, whether it's last week to this week or last year to this year.
One name of somebody who might jump up and surprise us who gets traded by the Browns.
I don't think it's going to happen, but let me say Jameis Winston.
Okay.
If somebody wanted him, I think they would give him up.
Okay. It's interesting because I mentioned that yesterday too. There might be a team that thinks we need a serious upgrade at backup quarterback, and they bring Jameis in. You know, look at Miami. You know, they have Tua's concussion situation. And it's interesting. I thought the same thing. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Gus.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com. You can read all of Scott's work. Fansky expected to have his Zoom call. If not one, it'll be shortly thereafter, sometime in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll hear it right here on The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin.
I'm still here, even after yesterday's game. Does it feel like a Browns Therapy Monday to you?
Well, no.
I don't think fans are fired up at all right now.
Well, combine the loss with the bye week, and I think it's like a the Baskin sigh fits here today. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, there's another Baskin one that fits this perfectly. What's your fantasy football team name typically?
Apathy by week four.
That's actually what it feels
apathy
more than
at week nine.
Yeah, it's apathy right now. It's really where we are. I do think fans are hanging on to see who gets traded over the next day or two. I do think things like this. I'm going to tell you, I am not looking forward to the Steelers game. That's a Thursday nighter, right? And you may as well just cross all the rivers here and put three up and just say we're in Pittsburgh for that night. Because that's what it's going to feel like. Even yesterday, there were a ton of Chargers. Not a ton. There was a limited group of Chargers fans. They were hooting and hollering after the game as the Chargers came back into the tunnel. And I'm just like, ugh, this is our house. It's just so – but I'm not mad at our fans. It's really aggravating and nauseating when you start to hear the other team's fans cheering and they're loud at the end. And there's no reason to blame Browns fans for that. It's just – I can't stand it. It's like my least favorite thing about. I mean, the place was half. It was half empty by halftime yesterday. There were so many empty seats.
Yeah, that's rough. I've never understood that.
You know,
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jameis takes them down and doesn't get the deflected pass intercepted in the end zone. It could have been a different game.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be an optimist. 14-play
drive to start the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it looked right. Like
could
everything,
have been a 10-point game.
You know, you make one stop, now all of a sudden
you get the ball back, boom. But guess
against
what?
Against a team that averages 30. Like, you knew going into yesterday's game, and tell me if I'm wrong, boys, because I don't know if you agree with this, but you knew when you were going to play this team yesterday that they only give up about 13 points a game.
Number one in the NFL.
So if you're going to get one touchdown offensively, you better put yourself in a position by scoring on special teams or scoring on defense or at least having special teams or defense put you in a really short field situation. That didn't happen yesterday.
Mm-mm.
In fact, it was worse because we saw, I don't know, did the real Jameis Winston stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
You know what?
Did he? I don't know.
I'm going to say no. And that takes us to what we were going to discuss in this segment. Scott Petrak said, and Scott was just with us, he would start Jameis moving forward here and then play it by ear, pretty much the way Scott laid it out. And, okay, if you're going to get a look at DTR, fine. But there are too many guys who are still trying to win football games, and Jameis gives you a better chance to do that. I would agree with that. But if you, like Joe Flacco last night for the Colts, Joe looked like a veteran quarterback who knows what he's doing. They didn't score any points offensively, and they had a tough go. Sam Darnold has been terrific in Minnesota. He threw an interception in the end zone last night that made you think, ooh, that was painful. And if you look around the NFL, and we did this, we mentioned this earlier, a handful, and Andy and I disagree on a couple of the guys, there are a handful of teams who you can say, absolutely, they have an absolute beast at quarterback, and they are set. They have their guy. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, I think Justin Herbert. The Commanders and Bears think they have their guys, Andy. Still to be determined, but I think both Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels look good. I mentioned Herbert. Jalen Hurts. Jared Goff looks like the guy in Detroit.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe five or six absolute beasts at quarterback, and maybe 12 guys who it's like, yeah, you pretty much got this gig. And everybody else kind of thinking, all right, this is our quarterback for now. I wonder where we go. And I wonder what the Browns do. You know, if you don't think, and you talking to Daniel Jeremiah yesterday on the pregame show, he doesn't think it's a good draft for quarterbacks, or what are you going to do next year? Could you go into the season with Jameis Winston? Could you go into the season with Deshaun Watson? Could you go into the season with Sam Darnold, who's going to be a free agent? Because they have J.J. McCarthy sitting there. Chris Collinsworth last night was asked by his partner, Mike Tirico. They showed J.J. McCarthy, and I thought Chris was interesting because Mike said, you know, J.J. McCarthy, how's this going to play out? And Collinsworth said, he's the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings next year. And Tirico was like, really? Goes, yeah, that's what they brought him here for. He's now sat out a year, you know, he's injured and he's healing up, but he thinks he'll be the starting quarterback for the Vikings next year. Well, you think Darnold's going to go back there as a backup after starting this year and performing pretty well? Nope.
Mm-mm.
So he's going to be a guy that somebody's going to go get. Scott mentioned some other guys. You know, hey, is Bryce Young going to stick in Carolina? Is Anthony Richardson going to stick in Indy? Trey Lance is sitting in Dallas. Are you going to try and go get a guy like this and let him compete with somebody and try a reclamation project, Andy? I mean, you do have some options here, because I just think it's so difficult to find one of those guys who's an absolute no-brainer, we're set for 10 years kind of guys. 5 years.
I have no idea what they're doing at quarterback right now. There's a part of me that just wants to see them play DTR for the rest of the year, Jeff, and just play him.
Why, though?
Because I want to see what they have. And I also think that I know there are people saying, well, I think we already have seen what we have, right? I know there are people thinking that. But I'd like to see them give him, I don't know, maybe a week or two to kind of give him a chance to settle in for a second. What do they have to lose? They have nothing to lose by this right now. They're not going anywhere. Where's this thing going? And the last two times they've thrown DTR in important situations, Ravens last year, they told them at the last second, and Cincinnati was kind of the same situation. So what if you actually gave him reps with a first-team offense for a week or two and then see what you have? Because I think financially, if he became successful, they'd be in a much better situation for the entire roster moving forward. I'm not saying that I think he's going to go out and win games, but I'd like to see them give this kid a chance just under the premise of give him an opportunity to work with a team for a week or two and then let him be the quarterback rather than throwing him into the fire right away. Still.
Let me give you a thought.
Okay.
Okay. You might like this thought.
Okay.
I personally, when I listen to DTR, he sounds like a starting quarterback to me. I love the way he handles himself. I think he comes off as a mature young guy who knows what he's doing, knows where he wants to go. I really like that about him. He's got a great arm. He hasn't played real well in the limited opportunities he's received. And limited is key.
And they've been awkward situations.
Bingo. You're right. Yeah. You're right. And I think Jameis could go be somebody's starting quarterback for the next 3 to 5 years. I do. Now, would he be that guy that makes you think, oh, we've got our quarterback? No, I don't think so. But he could start for you. He could start here. But as I Scott threw Jameis's name out as the guy who might be a surprising trade candidate, I could see that. And the reason if the Browns don't think he's the long-term answer, And by long term, I mean even maybe just next year in the year beyond or something like that, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
You have DTR. You don't have to go out and get another backup because you have Bailey Zappe. So you would have two quarterbacks here who have actually played a little bit in the NFL to play quarterback on a team that's not going anywhere this year. And I'm sorry to say that. So are you and everybody else. They're 2-7. Let's be honest.
Right.
You could play DTR and Bailey Zappe.
Yeah.
And get away with it.
Yeah.
And would they give you as good of a chance to win as Jameis?
No. I don't think so.
Probably not. But maybe you want to find that out. I don't know.
I'll even give you one more loss if you want to live in fantasy land and think that the Browns still have a chance to see some kind of post. I'll even give you one more loss. You got one more loss with Jameis. I'm being generous.
The stat I saw that 2-7, the Commanders 2 years ago, I think, made the playoffs, right? Wasn't that what it was?
I think there's only two.
But their division was so bad that they won the division. That's not going to happen here.
No.
And that to me is a really.
If we were in a division that was 4-4 going into yesterday, I think we'd have a shot, but we don't.
There are a lot of big picture things, I think, that can be decided here at the bye week and that need to be figured out if they aren't already figured out. See what you're going to do moving forward, possible trades, everything else. Quarterback keeps coming up throughout. And Scott Petrak mentioned maybe Jameis is a guy who could get traded here. I could see that. I don't know.
I really could see that a couple weeks ago when they were playing Deshaun. Like I really saw it then.
Yeah, I could see that.
Now it's a little more difficult.
Well, but you're 2-7 now. Unless you run the table or lose just one more game the rest of the way, you have no chance of making the playoffs. I don't think in our division.
No.
And that makes it very difficult.
I said to Jamal White yesterday.
You have Kansas City on the schedule.
I said to Jamal White yesterday, the Browns have a better chance of bringing you out of retirement and you having a 100-yard game than them making the playoffs.
And Jamal said, I still got game.
He said, well, he goes, why you got to be so negative? And I was like,
you know, it,
I'm just being realistic.
Yeah,
man.
let's be realistic here. It's, you know, you're 2-7. Joe is in Columbus. Joe, welcome.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, so this is kind of more of a question to you guys. I'm still kind of dumb when it comes to this whole cap space stuff that's going to be going on over the next 2 years.
You and me both.
All right, let's bring in Dr. Menigan.
I'll read one article that the sky is falling, and then I'll read another article that they can figure it out. And I guess, like, my concern is, you know, I don't know how it works when you have guys already in current contracts. And you already know that you have Deshaun for the next 2 years, and we already know we can't cut him, especially next year. So, like, when you have someone like Miles's contract or Denzel Ward's contract on that, like, really, how much does it leave left to sign, like, a full team? I mean, is that something that GM figures out by restructuring their contract? And that's why I would hate to lose Myles Garrett at this point in time, but, like, if that means we don't have money to put a team on the field for the next 2 years, that's 3 years of Miles' career wasted. Shouldn't we just try to get draft picks that are cheaper guys that then, you know, can kind of learn with whatever we go with while we're in this kind of cap space hell? So I'm literally asking the question because I'm dumb about it. So I don't know.
It's not dumb. I think it's a question. I ask this question almost every other day trying to figure it out, where you're like, well, let's trade Myles Garrett, but you really can't.
Joe, thank you.
You can't, because they owe him. I mean, if you traded Miles, you still have – you got to eat Miles' contract. It's almost like eating Deshaun's a little bit, not as much. But.
So you would have a dead cap hit for trading Miles.
Right.
Unless he was willing to negotiate such thing and the team itself was willing to pick up some of – or another team was willing to pick up some of that as well. You would have a dead cap hit and you would owe him – or the team that picks him up would owe him the rest of the year. So – that's kind of the thing. Like, trading Myles Garrett, while it is something that makes wonderful fodder on all of the talking head shows all over your television, it's probably not happening. I would tell you go to the bank and say they are not going to trade Myles Garrett unless Myles Garrett walks up to the front office and says, get me the HE double left-handed hockey sticks out of here. Yeah. I am willing to waive a whole bunch of things. That's the only way it happens.
And that does not appear to be something that Miles is interested in. And I don't think you get better by trading away people who you have under contract and can be on your team for some time who are really good. That doesn't help you. Getting draft picks for those, that doesn't help you.
And it's easier to make those kind of trades in the off season than it is to make those kind of trades in season.
I mentioned, I saw, you know, and man, the internet is full of hypothetical trade deals. The only one I've seen that I thought, wow, I wonder if you would do that. I mentioned it last week, was somebody pitched a Myles Garrett to the Atlanta Falcons for, I think it was multiple number ones and Michael Penix.
Right, I remember we talked about that.
That's, you know, that might give you pause. Ken's in Westlake. Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. I couldn't believe, I think it was Jeff, because I just turned the radio on. You like the way DTR answers questions?
I like the way he handles himself, Ken.
We've reached that low that's what we can compliment a quarterback on rather than his play on the field?
I do believe, yes.
The other point I want to make is that if you think Jameis Winston has 3 to 5 years as a starter...
I didn't say that. I said he could be somebody's starter for 2, 3, 5 years.
That's one heck of a big could.
Take a Ken, have you looked around the NFL at the quarterback play? It's crappy.
Okay, but
Ken, have you looked around the league at the quarterback play? It is crappy. Joe Flacco is playing in Indy. Joe didn't put up any points last night. I like Joe. We liked Joe last year. Quarterback play in the league is crappy. Geno Smith says, I cost my team the game yesterday. Yep. Did you watch that game? Geno did. Well, quarterback play is crappy, Ken.
Then why would anybody want Jameson to add more crap?
Because somebody would use him as a backup quarterback.
Maybe you. That'd be about it.
Maybe the Browns.
Well, that tells you what type of organization we have.
Okay, Ken. Thanks.
Did Evil Jeff Phelps just pop on the Browns Therapy Monday? Dan, ruling? I say yes.
Oh, I mean, there's only one way we're going to have this true answer. Do you have a headache?
No.
It's a little bit.
Oh, Jeff, do you have a headache? Oh, no, it is Evil Jeff.
It's Evil Jeff Phelps.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Maybe it's a holiday.
Quarterback play in the league's not good.
Halloween hangover.
Right? Look around the league. Dan and I have been, we've been going back and forth. I was looking at some things. I wrote some names down. Then Dan suddenly shows me his list. Yeah, we both wrote names down.
We're working on a list without talking to each other.
There are about 12 to 15 quarterbacks in the league who I think I'd be okay with him as my starting quarterback. And about five who I think, yeah, just that wait, guy's got it.
Just wait till European expansion. It's going to get worse.
That's about 15 guys that I think, boy, I think they could do better.
Hi, my name is Dan Menigan. I need to go outside more.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. Joe's in Niagara Falls. Canadian side or American side, Joe?
American side. I'm actually in the Air Force.
Nice.
I'm stationed up here.
We don't have any trouble with those Canadians, do we? You better get to take care of them. Take care of them.
Man, the Canucks, dude, they come over here. I mean, anytime you want to go to Sam's Club or Walmart, yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I guess the value is better. They're purchasing
really?
Power. They're over here. Yeah, it's very strange.
Have you ever been at Rick Manning Boulevard over there? It's very small.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a very small street. I thought it was. I was underwhelmed when I got there.
It's better than Baskin Boulevard or Phelps Street.
I don't know. I like that
about the city.
Yeah,
the parks are great.
All right, let's get to the Browns.
No, I want to hear more. This is way better than the Browns. Yes.
So listen, guys, I command a lot of people, and I can tell when people are checked out. It seems like last week, you know, was an emotional win. These guys played up to their potential, but what this week showed me is that they're checked out, man. And I don't know if they're checked out because of the decisions with Deshaun Watson. What do you think of that? I'm really not, you know,
I'm having a little trouble thinking they're checked out just because you have to give the Chargers defense credit. They are damn good.
And they came off a win over the Ravens that was pretty inspiring.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I don't feel like they've completely checked out because I still think that there was a glimmer of hope. Plus, the other thing is these guys, unless they are not very smart, they know trade deadlines tomorrow, so that you got to play hard. So
people got film on them. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to get you guys have a pulse on it more than me.
It's okay.
Up here watching games, pulling my hair out.
Joe, what's your rank?
Oh. I'm a colonel.
Nice.
Wow. I'm smarter today. Yeah. I like Wayne Gretzky's across the border. I think it's a pretty cool place, but it's really expensive. I don't know if you've been over there yet.
But the Canadian side is like, you know, watching The Wizard of Oz, that part of the movie where it's black and white,
yeah,
and then she opens the door to go into Oz, that's like going to the Canadian side.
Joe, that's awesome.
Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you, Colonel.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow. I'm done.
Joe needs to keep calling back.
Hey, I'm done. Can I just be smarter? We talked to a colonel today.
Colonel
good,
Joe.
Man. He's keeping us safe every day. Thank you, Colonel.
Joe. Good night, everybody.
See you later. That was pretty cool.
Nelson's in Avon Lake. Nelson.
Hi, Nelson.
Guys. Hey, Jeff, I think I just got a little bit of that unhinged Jeff, which I love.
Everybody loves that.
You are absolutely 100% correct. Quarterback play in the NFL is dreadful. There's no development. It's just dreadful. And you're absolutely right. Like, Jameis had a horrible game yesterday, but as a backup, why not, right?
Sure.
Here are my thoughts, right? And you guys know I call the show every once in a while, and I pride myself in being a reasonable, pragmatic type of individual. But up until yesterday, I honestly did not think that there was a way that the Browns would let go of Stefanski or Andrew Berry. Now I'm having some doubts, and I still don't. I'm still not advocating for that, for the record, right? I still think that Andrew and Stefanski deserve a chance, but I think it's fair to question the decision, some of the decisions that Andrew has made, some of the contracts that he's given out, some of the talent that he's acquired. And I guess I'll leave you with this, and I'll ask a question. Where did it go wrong with John Dorsey? Was that a power struggle, or was that really an organizational decision to let go of a guy that was probably not the most agreeable? But we can all not argue the fact that from a talent acquisition perspective, the man by far acquired probably some of the best talent that we've seen. And we can argue that what we're seeing on the field right now from a talent perspective and going forward, right, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Nelson, thank you very much. Nelson calls us when he takes his walk, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's
that's
actually
good.
It's exercise with Baskin and Phelps.
Let's
it's
touch
better
on
than jazzercise.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.